Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. Stanza one of the hymn Father Welcomes. We're going to be talking about that very famous account. You hear it if you've ever attended a baptism of a little baby or a little child. You hear it read before the baptism. Famous account from Mark chapter 10 where Jesus welcomes the little children. Now the disciples want to stop the little children. People are bringing these little children to have him bless them. And they want to stop them, but Jesus is, it says, he is indignant. Do not hinder them. Let them come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What does that mean for children? What does that mean for the rest of us as well? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Hello. It's great to be back. And what a great lesson to have for teaching in Sunday school this week.
Do little children belong in the kingdom of God?
Absolutely. And that's what this lesson is all about. And this short three verses in the Gospel of Mark is also recorded at the same event in Luke and in Matthew. Lest we miss it, lest we don't get how important children are to Jesus. And in Luke, it even speaks of people bringing infants to Jesus who were rebuked by the disciples, and who Jesus had to say, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. There's a whole lot here in these few short verses about the value, the love, the care God has for the least of these, the little children, and a whole lot here for us to talk about in terms of how we approach God or don't approach him, how it is that we become like little children, that we might receive the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So, absolutely, kingdom of God is for children. They are part of it. God has it for them and for all people.
Well, I guess the biggest question to answer here then is when Jesus says in verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall never enter it. What exactly is he saying? What is the point of that?
Well, the first point is that he's not talking about being naive and foolish and childlike in that way, but he's really underscoring the state of mind that an infant or a little child has towards someone else, trusting, not suspicious, not doubting, and the state of mind that they would have as one who is really unable to do anything for themselves, and somebody who is in need, who can't take care of themselves. Jesus wants us to understand that that's how we are in terms of our sin and what it has done to us. that we are like little children, who he says are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because they can only receive from God the love that he has to give, and they don't put up walls of doubt or questioning. Children simply believe what is told them. They simply receive what is given them, believing that it is good and for their good. That's the attitude, and that's really what this text is talking about, not becoming a child that doesn't understand anything, but a child becoming childlike in our trust, having complete trust in God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, another 10 minutes with her. On this Tuesday afternoon, it's the 24th of January, we're talking about the story in Mark chapter 10 of Jesus receiving the little children. Now, when we come back, it says he has a custom. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. It sounds as though people would always want Jesus to have some contact with their children. Now, we've made the point here that this is not about going back and becoming young, that is chronologically young. It's not about going back and becoming naive or lacking knowledge, but it is that natural condition of children as being helpless, those who are cared for, those who are given to, that Jesus is commending to us all. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada, St. Jacobi Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the little children coming to Jesus, and Jesus welcomes them over against the disciples' objections. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We base our conversations with Pam every week on a great Sunday school curriculum produced by Concordia Publishing House. It's called Growing in Christ. The name really says it all. This is about, and isn't this exactly what this text is about? About Jesus teaching young and old, and he refuses no one a place in his kingdom, especially based upon their age or their maturity or their knowledge, but he welcomes all and blesses all with the teaching of his word. That's exactly what growing in Christ is trying to do. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can get a free sample by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. Pam, back to verse 1, which is not technically part of the text, but it is the context for this. Jesus is teaching. This is all a part of Jesus' teaching. Can we presume there that, according to his custom, children would have been included among those that he saw fit to teach God's word?
Absolutely. Jesus, as he went around, it was his regular practice to simply teach to the crowds, whoever was in the crowds that were gathering around him. And, you know, if we find that all over in the Gospels, that people had heard about him and went to where they heard he would be, followed him, and he would simply teach on the spot, on the hill, from the boat, in the valley, wherever it was that the people were, he would teach. And in those crowds were men and women and children, young and old, babies in arms, toddlers, you name it. He simply teaches, and he doesn't draw a line there. And you know, here in this text, of course, the disciples are trying to say, you know, he's more important than that. Don't bother him with these little children. But very, very clearly, Jesus, he rebukes them, and he really shows a sensitivity to the needs of children. And it's really, really just another manifestation of his sensitivity to us humans, young or old. And we see Jesus wanting to place his hand on them and bless them. What could a child understand? What could an infant understand? Not words of a sermon being preached. As the older they get, the little bit more they understand. But what child doesn't get when a hand is placed on them? That is a hand of love and care. And in this instance, the very hand of the Son of God to bless them, to impart to them the blessings of God, the gifts of heaven. And, you know, Jesus uses physical things with us creatures, with men, women, and children. And we get it every week. And the water poured over us in baptism, that's combined with the Word of God. The bread and wine that we take on our lips, we taste, we chew, we drink, we swallow, combined with the Word of God, the preaching that we hear and take into our ears and into our minds. But God has always, as we've talked so often, used in these Bible stories, how he uses physical means to connect himself, his power, and his will for us, things that we can't forget, a cloud in the sky for the children of Israel to follow, a burning bush to know that there is the presence of God, so many, many things. And here, with these little children in these little few little verses in Mark, placing his hands on them and blessing them. And, of course, they, like you or I or anyone, need the blessing of God, need all that God has come to give us in his Son Christ, who he sent to be live and suffer and die among us. So this is really a beautiful text, and it says something much more than about children in Jesus, but about our state and what we need from our Lord and Savior.
It's not very often, it does happen, but it's not very often in the gospel accounts that Jesus becomes indignant. And I mean, indignance in his case, this isn't a soft word. He isn't just annoyed. Mm-hmm. He is, I mean, you think about someone who gets indignant, he's not going to tolerate this. And he makes it very clear to his disciples that hindering these children is something that is contrary to the way things work in his kingdom. Why such a strong reaction on the part of our Savior?
Well, because he loves them like he loves us. He loves them unto salvation. He wants them to know their Savior. He wants them to encounter him, the Son of God, who has come to save all people from their sin. And he knows that little children, cute and cuddly all that they are damned without the blessing of God, without the salvation that Jesus has come to give. So it is vital for them to know him, to receive his gifts and blessing, as it is for any other person gathered on that hillside. And, you know, this is strong language that he becomes indignant. But if you go to Mark 9:42, there is that text where he speaks about causing the little ones to sin, and what a great offense that is to him. And, you know, we have that the text about somebody who leads a little one astray ought to have a millstone put around their neck and be thrown to the bottom of the lake. God takes the souls and the lives of little ones, children, very seriously, because he loves them just as he loves you or I or any other human being on this earth. And it is serious business, because it's life and death, eternal life and death business. They need to know this Jesus. They need to know their Savior, the Son of God.
The church has long had this very reading from Mark chapter 10 as the gospel reading at the baptism of little children and infants. It's a fixture there, in addition to Christ's command to baptize all nations. Is this a good time to talk to the kids about that reading that was read over them at a time that they perhaps could not even remember when they were brought to Jesus themselves by their parents?
Yeah, this is an excellent time. And teachers, it's something you really want to set time aside to talk to the children about how it was that they were brought to Jesus and what happened at baptism. Open up the hymnal and read some of those words. Point out these verses. If you can, you know, if nothing else is going on in the sanctuary during Sunday school hour, you might take your class up there and teach the lesson from around the font and talk about how parents bring their children to Jesus to receive blessing, eternal blessings, to be made the children of God around the font through the word and the water. It's a beautiful thing to do, and that'll give them a very, very visual thing, reminder of that and a teaching of that. It's a great lesson. So often what we study in Sunday school are about adults and people we don't know, but here in this lesson, children really hear very straightforward how important they are to Jesus and what they mean to him. And it's all about their salvation. And it's why you teach Sunday school. It's why parents bring them to church in Sunday school, because Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and hinder them not, for such belongs to the kingdom of heaven." They are precious in his sight, as each of you Sunday school teachers is. And it is about receiving all that he has come to give, forgiveness, life, and salvation.
Pam, with only a minute here, tell us about this week's Witness Mercy Life Together Connection for the children, Project Clean Water. Only about a minute.
Sure. This is a project that's really a partnership with CPH and their upcoming VBS, but it's a project that a Sunday school can adopt as well. It is a mercy project where offerings and donations come together to help provide clean water, perhaps wells where clean water can come from, for children, for families all around the world, in places where we have the altar and the pulpit, where we can connect this work of mercy, of clean water, to the living water through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Very intentional work that we're doing throughout the world to bring the mercy of Christ in tangible ways through things like clean water, and to preach that word clearly, that Christ is the one with the living water of holy baptism, and that is how we're brought into his family and saved for all eternity. So check out the link. This is a great project. There's some neat resources, all designed for children to get them engaged in extending a hand of mercy to people in need, and then pointing them back to the living water, to Christ Jesus, their Savior.
You can find out more about Project Clean Water at our website, issuesetc.org. Proceed to the Listen On Demand page. You'll see the link right there with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great week.
In hour two of Issues Etc., straight ahead, Bill McKeever is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about Joel Osteen recently saying that he regards Mitt Romney, famous Mormon, as a fellow believer in Christ with him. Is that true? Is Mormonism Christian? Many Mormons would like us to think it is. Many Christians mistakenly think it is. If it is, well then, how do we account for the major differences between these two religions? And then a little bit later in hour two, well, we're going to talk about St. Timothy. Dr. Jeff Kloa of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest. Hour two in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.